Torah isn't education, it's transformation. This is Chai Chinuch with Rabbi G.
101.9 Chai FM, Chai Chinuch with Rabbi G. We are back, as we do every Monday between 2 to 3, where we discuss education, Chinuch, different projects, different things, different professionals, and we focus on how to make the world a better place, how to make ourselves better people, and everything in between. How do we influence our friends, our families, our communities, and what can we do to improve ourselves? What can we do to learn, to grow, to achieve, etc.? Anything you'd like to hear on the show, or any topic, or anyone you would wish to see on the show or hear on the show, any idea, any suggestion, any topic, anything, please send us an SMS. 34519 is the SMS line, or send us a telegram at 061-895-1019. So a lot of the schools started today, and wishing best of luck to the kids starting the third term today, third out of four, and then to the kids that are going to start in the next recent time. Some of you still on holiday, some are not. And the very interesting topic that we have today is about something that definitely impacts our school learning and ability and intelligence at the same time. Could be a hobby, maybe, I think, a very great topic for end of holidays together with school. This is something that is considered a game, however, is used a lot in the area of improving our thinking skills and abilities. And actually, I'm talking a lot, but maybe we should actually hear from the professional that is here in studio with me instead of me. You don't want to hear about chess from me. And it is, yeah, exactly. I'm talking about chess. And that's why I'm here with Clyde Wolpe, who is the former South African chess champion and author of Power of Chess as a book. And he's the director, actually, of Go for Chess Academy in South Africa. So let's go straight into it. Good afternoon, Clyde. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Rabbi G. It's great to be on your show.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure to have you. Go for Chess, what is it about? Tell us a bit about the
Go for Chess. I started Go for Chess about 12 years or so ago, and it was basically just to do chess for the sake of chess, to run away, to escape the politics. There was a lot of politics in chess as well. We love chess. We want to get better at chess, and we want to improve. So we are all about chess education, as is the show, and we coach, we do teachers training, all sorts of things. We run tournaments, everything chess related. One-on-one, and we do also online as well, and we coach in all the schools.
Okay, so you've brought chess into the schools, and you're coaching in the schools, you're saying?
Well, we don't claim to have started chess in the schools. There are other people doing it, but we certainly, that's our vision, to grow chess, and a few schools have actually become chess schools with chess as a subject in the mornings, and other schools are doing it as an extramural. So each school is different in terms of how they want to approach chess, but I'd say universally schools love the idea of chess improving education, chess being education.
Why would chess be a subject in school?
Chess is definitely, it's like a whole way of life, the way of thinking. It's a logical thought process. I think it's definitely, it's got the components of a subject. The book we were talking about is actually the textbook for our coaching syllabus in the schools. But also, as you see on the back cover, the book is about showing how logical chess is. In this day of computers, in this age of computers, it's so easy for anybody to just to look up and regurgitate a whole lot of lines, even top players. But where I'm coming from is I want us to understand chess, and chess coaching, as we are coaches, it's, you know, one of the things that's still going strong in this IT world of ours, because people need to explain, you know, how it works and not just to go in it. So chess, I would, you know, I'd emphasize at this stage, it's a logical thought process. That's how I would look at it. Not everyone looks at it that way.
Which will help us in logic in other areas.
Correct.
As well.
And it's, okay, you know, it's about a planning, a way of life.
It's strategy, planning, yes, thinking, etc. There's a bit of a feeling that over the past, I don't know, years, chess has kind of phased away a bit. And then I do meet amazing people like yourself that are bringing it back. What has happened? How come we kind of lost the touch in a way within schools? Or I'm completely wrong and we haven't lost it in
I would say that I think it's wrong in the sense that the numbers are growing, but the game has changed. So the base is much bigger, but maybe, you know, and with computers, obviously people can improve quicker, but there are many more registered players today. There's people, for example, a Netflix series, The Queen's Gambit, and other things like that promote chess, and it really, really, and, you know, different things popularize chess, and it is a universal language as such. So I would definitely say it's not dwindling at all. It's just changing. And with computers, as coaches, we use computers, but I like to say we mustn't become slaves to computers. We must use them, but we must be the final editor.
Like in every area in
exactly,
life.
Exactly, and IT as well, yeah.
Completely.
Yeah.
So a coach for chess, we do know that chess is played internationally. It could be a sport, and we'll get to that shortly. You yourself were the South African champion for chess. What is the coach's job when it comes to chess? Because let me elaborate. You know, we know what a teacher does.
Yes.
We know what a coach in sports does on the field. What does a chess coach do?
Well, I'm glad you asked it that way, because I always say, with all respect to the teacher, we are not teachers, because a teacher is giving a lesson and hopefully everybody's absorbing it. But as coaches, we have to pick up on everybody. If somebody doesn't get it, we zone in on them, and then we carry on according to, we base our coaching on feedback as well. So coach is much more in touch, and we do smaller groups, or, you know, even one-on-one or whatever. So a coach, let's say from a beginner level, brings you up to a certain level. But even at the highest level, the world champion, the top players in the world have coaches, but they're more like seconds and help them with preparation and that. And sometimes, I mean, people say, well, why has the world champion got a coach? Because he can beat the coach. It's not the point, you know.
That's a very good question. Yeah. Thank you. So why doesn't the world champion have a coach?
Well, they can advise, for example, on playing certain opponents, what type of style to play, what type of opening, etc. Magnus Carlsen, who's a previous world champion, one of his great assets was just keeping people guessing as to the start of his game. So that's also a weapon as well in itself.
Okay, meaning it's more for the tactic.
Correct.
And less for the actual skill.
And also when it comes to theory, often you have a group of, they call them seconds, who work on the line, you know, literally while he's sleeping, and tell you in the morning what's the continuation. You know, so there's a lot. I mean, and top level, they call them super grandmasters now. They're top players in the world. There's a proper circuit, and, you know, they earn big money as well, the top players.
So where does the shift come in from a chess teacher to a chess coach? Because I'm imagining when a child starts, or anybody starts, you would need to kind of learn the game and learn the basic tactics, and then eventually become more professional.
I would say chess need a coach is the right approach, because everybody learns at a different pace, and, you know, some people are brilliant with figures and some people are not, and some people are more better with patterns. You know, chess, one of the things chess teaches us is pattern recognition, and so it depends on how you see chess, whether you see it as a sport, a mind sport, a game, a war game. So it's different.
I'm very interested how you see chess, but we'll see that right after the break.
Thank you.
We'll get to see how do you actually see chess, and see where that comes into mind. And we also have a very interesting surprise for the listeners, which I'll speak to after
the
break. In the meantime, anything you want to comment, ask to Clyde or to me. 34519 is SMS line, or Telegram 061-895-1019.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
101.9 Chai FM, Chai Chinuch, Thoreh by G. We are back in a fascinating discussion. I'm here with Clyde Wolpe. He is the director of Go for Chess Academy and the former South African chess champion, and author of The Power of the Chess. That's the name of his book, The Power of the Chess. And right before the break, I asked you You know, we spoke about the different forms of everybody has a different relationship with chess, almost as a sport, as a subject, as academic. How do you see chess?
I'd have to say as a mind sport, basically because I love the competitive aspect of it, but I also love the creative aspect of it. So some people are maybe not that competitive, but like in any sport, there's beautiful, it can be a thing of beauty or it can just be more clinical. So I call it a mind sport if you put me on the spot for a name.
Okay. Yeah. So as a mind sport, meaning that it's a sport. You can
enjoy,
you can grow.
And you're playing against an opponent and you're trying to outwit your opponent. And obviously the great thing about chess in terms of board games is it's the only board game that's completely a skill because there's no dice and no cards.
It's just for everybody.
Definitely not for everybody. My own kids, they play chess. My son Joshua did well at chess, but no, they're not. I say to people, either you love chess or don't do chess.
Okay.
Don't do chess.
So if a parent is listening and saying, well, interesting, I hear the benefits of chess, and we're going to go into that even deeper.
Yeah.
How do I know if my child's the right candidate for it?
Well, literally, I would tell a parent that come to me, and if they're not enjoying it, don't do it. Some people, and it's not age-related, by the way. I mean, we have literally three-year-olds coming to our academy and 80-year-olds every – so it's not age-related, but either you, like, take to it or you don't, and it's as simple as that because chess also requires a lot of work, a lot of practice, and just to keep up with it. I mean, I'm a chess – coach as a professional, but even to relax, I play chess because I love the game. So,
however, are there certain skills that a person gets from playing chess that would be difficult to replace them in a different way?
Definitely, you know, following a thought process, planning, even as we said, pattern recognition. You get to follow procedures. You know, chess is also wonderfully creative because although there's the computer will always tell you what the right move is. There's obviously we're not just going to play what the computer says, otherwise the game would just become
extinct.
How could
it be a right way if there's creativity involved?
But that's the point. So the computer, because these days, I mean, even a basic chess computer, a basic app could beat virtually any human because, and the technology is unbelievable. That's free. But if you, for example, ask a computer what the right move is at a certain time, it doesn't mean that you have to follow it because computers have a different thought process as well. And they're also very materialistic. So they look at taking material. And one of the, just to jump back to the education side of it, one of the things that we talk about that chess teaches us is not to be materialistic. Because if you just take every piece, it's not going to guarantee the win. You have to think smart and, you know, not just take every piece, which
so prioritizing.
Exactly. But also, it's a habit of especially young players that just want to take every piece. And then they realize that doesn't always lead to victory. So,
right. Completely.
Yeah.
I'm wondering when you play game, play chess, and you're talking about the planning and identifying the other person's plan and program and how to win. Are you looking purely at their mindset and skills? Or are you looking at the person you're playing with, I'm talking about? Are you looking at their body language, their vibe to help you predict their next move or not at all?
That's a good question because, you know, first of all, there's three stages of a game of chess. So there's the opening, and in the opening, that's your preparation. So there you decide you're playing a certain opponent. Maybe they're very good at tactics, so you play a more solid opening like the French defense compared to the Sicilian defense, which is a wild opening. And so in that respect, you do it. But when it gets to the middle game, then you can be more creative and you can see. So you are playing your opponent. You'll know your opponent as you go. And also people can look up other people's games online, etc., because these days a lot of the tournaments publish the games, so you can look that up as well. So it's kind of a module. It's interesting. I'll just give you a quick analogy. I can't remember exactly what year it was, but when Kasparov, when Garry Kasparov won the title against Karpov, and he started down, and he said he learned the most just from playing his opponent and just watching what he did, and then he acclimatized into the game.
What you mean, looking back and seeing?
Yeah, just literally in real time. You know, he coached himself on how to beat the guy, like based on what he was doing. So
then how can a computer take that in consideration if we're talking about not only mindset?
Well, the computer doesn't have psychology, let's assume. And I'll give you another analogy, like with psychology, like where psychology comes into chess is when a higher rated player makes a move, it might be a mistake, but the low rated player doesn't realize it's a mistake, so he doesn't take advantage. In fact, it's called, at the highest level, they call that the Carlsen effect. Because Carlsen was so good, but he makes a lot of mistakes, but no one knows when he makes them, so they just assume they're not a mistake. So, in that respect, so you can use psychology. I've done that before. You make a move, you realize it's a mistake, but you don't show weakness. And then, depends who you're playing.
Wow. So, you've just touched on a huge thing that, you know, we need to take out of the chess game into real life.
Yes.
Because many times we can get intimidated by authority, or we can get challenged by a friend or somebody we're in contact that is more powerful than us, more scary than us, more in control in the situation of us, and we don't know how to look through and see the actual move they've taken without adding all the glory into it and assuming they've done right and I've done wrong. What are the skills you use in chess to see through that, and how can we translate it to our lives to not see, to actually be able to see other people's moves and steps clearly without letting their glory overshadow and overpower us?
Let me just try and work out the answer to that. Well, first of all, I mean, the first part I would say is that chess players are, one of the skills you learn as a chess player is to try and, is to think what the other person is thinking. So even though when it's not your move, you're trying to work out what the person's going to do to stay one step ahead. So in a nutshell, I'd say, you know, predicting behavior is a good thing. If you can predict behavior in control. So that, in terms of a life skill.
So that's a huge power of theory of mind as well, being able to see the world through somebody else's eyes.
Yeah.
My question is, you still said there's a huge thing that people that have their fame, we automatically assume they've done right, and we don't pick up on their mistakes, and we feel humbled in front of them.
Yeah, I'd say that's in the moment, yes. But then afterwards, they look at the game and analyze the game and see that even the top players make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes, and you learn from your mistakes. But it's in the heat of battle, so to speak. As you see with any sport, the experience comes through. If, you know, somebody might have a good chance, but eventually the experience will dominate.
And in the heat of battle, how do you train yourself to identify it?
Well, it's a lot of things. You've got to be calm. You've got to analyze in chess. I mean, the word analyze, a bit of a chess word, and, you know, to analyze just means, you know, thinking ahead. If I do this and they do that, then what happens next? You're just going ahead. By the way, a big myth about chess players, top chess players, is that they think so many moves ahead, 20 moves ahead or whatever. The reality is you don't have to think so many moves ahead. Just have to think a few moves ahead and then visualize if you get into that situation, are you happy? And then you can take it from there. Much like a soccer player running into space. He doesn't know maybe where he's going to score, but he's going to be dangerous in space.
Which is a fascinating concept, because what you're saying is that you have to be flexible when it comes to the game, because you may have had a plan, but then your opponent messed up your plan. So you need to kind of plan your next few steps, but also stay in tune with what is actually happening.
Yes, true. And also that comes with a confidence of trusting yourself to be able to make the right decisions when you get to the next step. So it's more like, you know, just that whole process just works over and over again.
Okay, so obviously the confidence is definitely a huge thing.
Yes.
Do people that have, you know, rigid planning have a harder time with chess?
Yeah, you're quite right in that way. You've got to have a flexibility, because you could start off attacking, it doesn't go well for you, then you find yourself defending. So attack and defense, I would say, are both positive. But I would say active is positive, but passive is negative. So defending, like in any sport, can be a positive thing. You have to defend. But when you go too passive and you sort of block yourself in just to save losing a pawn, for example, putting a rook behind a pawn, that's what we call passive. And passive play leads to a disaster normally. So we encourage to keep active.
It's almost like mini life.
Yes, it is exactly mini life. In fact, let me jump ahead one more thing. So checkmate. By the way, we use a lot of sports and metaphors to explain, depending on who we're coaching, but checkmate itself is exactly like life. It's somebody punches you in the face. So that's the analogy. You put the king in check. You're punching it just in a playful way. Somebody punches you. You've got three things you can do. Same as chess. You can run away. You can block, or you can punch the person. So exactly like chess.
You always have the freeze, flight, and.
Yes, correct. Everything is so logically based, so logically compared to life in chess.
Unbelievable. Let's talk for a minute about your book.
Yes.
Your book is the curriculum to your programs?
Yeah, it's basically, I wrote it in reverse because as a coach, I was always taking notes like I'm doing now. And then eventually I had enough to make a book. And I realized that there were a lot of sort of, let's call them babyish books with just diagrams. And there were a lot of high level, very technical textbooks on chess. And there was nothing really in the middle. So my book is basically from knowing nothing, taking you from the rules of chess to a level of competitiveness so that you're ready to start playing. And then after that, you need to do more theory and all that. So
your book is, I could see it, you brought it in here to the studio and it's quite impressive. I see it right in front of me.
Thank you.
And, you said very generously that you're willing to give me this book. So what I would want to say is like this, any of the listeners, how about we do this, that is keen to actually train their child and teach your child as a curriculum, we will give them this book free of charge.
Fantastic.
Would that be fair?
More than fair.
Amazing. So if you are listening right now and you will play chess with your child or anyone that you're willing to train and you're saying, yes, I do see the value of chess and I will, I want to see the book and follow a curriculum and do it. Go for it and you can enjoy it. And I'm here with Clyde Wolpe, the author of the book, and he has offered to give the book. So, the first SMS that comes in saying that, yes, I will do it. I can use it. I think we should, give it to them. So they'll obviously just come pick it up here. We'll leave it for them on the radio.
Yeah.
So send us an SMS. 34519 is the SMS line. If you would need this book, if you would follow the curriculum with your family, or send us a telegram at 061-895-1019 if you will use this book properly. First one that will say that we'll get this book with complete pleasure from Clyde Wolpe. And yeah, so we can definitely see if anybody is willing to take on this chess challenge. So, continuing our discussion while we're waiting to see where the chess comes in, do we see game, when we watch the games and we see the social interaction around the game, do we find a difference in social life between people that would play chess with friends or people that would play chess on a computer or on an app or something? Does that affect their social skills within the chess world or generally?
The way I'd answer that question is, first of all, a lot of people don't like online. We obviously do a lot of stuff online as well. But playing, for example, in famous places like Central Park or in Johannesburg, Joburg Park, it's a very social game in that respect. But the practical problem is that up-and-coming players need someone to practice with. So that's why we always say, use a computer to practice, play your games online, then we can review them. So
the computer is your tool, basically.
The computer, exactly. It's a coaching aid, and it's been fantastic for us for coaching to be able to monitor the games, etc. In terms of the third part of your question about how does it change your personality or whatever, your behavior on, playing online or not, I think chess players can be a bit compulsive. And you know, they want to, you lose a game and then you can't sleep because you want to work out how to beat that person next time. And depends. Everyone's different in that respect. But I'd say it's a social game, but it's becoming less social as it goes more online, if you want to call it.
The way you're describing the online chess game concerns me that it sounds a bit addictive.
Look, people are motivated by different things, sometimes by rating points. So you want to play, sometimes by prize money, whatever the case is. But we encourage, I mean, a lot of repetition, obviously, to reinforce the learning. For example, you're learning a certain opening, a certain line in the opening, then you want to become an expert at that line. You need to play it over and over. So just like anything else, you've got to understand the patterns. Just to refer back to the three stages of the game, the opening is the stage where you have to prepare and you come and before you start the game, you know what you're going to do. The middle game is the creative part and the end game is more mathematical. And mathematical includes geometry and patterns.
Which will obviously affect your ability and your strength.
Yeah.
So when we talk about the generally in sports, in many of the different sports, we do need to have some kind of similarity between the players, because you won't have in soccer, I don't think it would be such a fair game for a 13-year-old girl to play with a 25 professional player.
Yeah.
Because physically it wouldn't work that much. When it comes to chess, do we see more of ability to bring people together that in other sports would not really be able to be in there?
Yes, in theory, that does happen. But in terms of tournaments, for example, we ran a big tournament yesterday. So we have category prizes. So everybody, so for example, if an 8-year-old is playing with an adult, there'll be category prizes. So even if they're in the same section, there will be a prize for the best in each age group. So we look at that as well. But as you say, there are some very young players who grow quickly. So it's not always easy to put that line.
So it's not as clearly categorized, even though there are categories.
Yeah, there are definitely age categories, age and rating categories. So we run the schools league as well. So we have a junior section and then up to grade 3 and then a senior section from grade 4 to grade 7.
Okay, amazing. So a few SMSs have started coming in.
Great.
I'm just going to remind the listeners if you do want to take on to work with this book and curriculum with a family member and are willing to take that seriously, we do have a book or two to offer to the public for that, because the reason I'm saying is because some messages did come in already. However, there may be a bit more opportunity. So 34519 is the SMS line. Send us a message that you will be taking this on or any questions you'd like. And Telegram 061-895-1019. And I'm going to get to the messages right after a short break that we have right now.
Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
101.9 FM. We are back. I'm here in a discussion with Clyde Wolpe. Clyde is the author of The Power of Chess, as he wrote that book. He is also South African former just slipped my mind. Come on, what are you?
Chess champion.
Former South African champion. Okay, you see, I shouldn't read the SMSs while I talk. Multitasking, I guess, is a bit challenging, but maybe with the help we'll get there. So any comments, anything you'd like to ask him, please send us an SMS 34519 or Telegram 061-895-1019. And any question, any comment, as well as Clyde was very generous to offer a book to anyone who will take seriously the initiative of working with their family member on learning the curriculum. Then this is a gift from Clyde. So just send us an SMS about that, 34519 or Telegram 061-895-1019. So great question. A question coming in. I want to read to you, not directly an educational question, but I think an important one. So, great interview. Let me just read it. Great interview and lovely to listen to Clyde. Okay, that's a compliment. Starting,
thank you.
I wonder if Clyde could comment on the upcoming World Cup where Daniel Codra is taking part.
That's a lovely question to answer because I'm proud to say Daniel is one of our coaches, Gopher Chess Academy coach. He is the highest rated player in South Africa and the most successful player probably of all time in terms of his tournament achievements. And he's playing in this...
It's very nice and humble to hear it from someone who was a champion and
yeah.
So that's
yeah,
nice.
No, well, okay. Hopefully I'm the champion coach now. But but anyway, Daniel is a wonderful player, and he's playing in the Chess World Cup, which is in Azerbaijan later in this year, from the 30th of July to the 24th of August, where 128 players come from all the champions in the world, basically come for a knockout. And Daniel has played before. It'll be very unlikely for him to win it, but just to be invited to that is a massive, massive honor. We're all cheering him on.
Okay. So when is it coming up?
It starts on the 30th of July, I believe, in Azerbaijan this year.
Okay, so we're almost there. You're his coach.
No, I'm not Daniel's coach. Daniel is part of our team.
Oh, he's on your
team. He's part of our coaching team.
So
yeah.
Congratulations on
that. Thank you.
So that would be great. So before we continue, I'm looking at the SMSs of people requested the book.
Yeah.
And there's one of the messages coming in is from Denise, and I would love to give her the book because what she's writing is she's a grandmother of a 9-year-old and he's been trying to show her how to play, and the book will help them work together on it. It's a grandmother
lovely.
And grandson. I think that's a great initiative.
Yeah.
So thank you, Denise, and definitely grandmother to grandson, I think you should have the book.
Yeah.
And we're going to be in touch with you after the show, and she can come pick it up. That would be great.
Yeah, we're happy to give another couple of books away to those
Christians.
Okay,
so we'll see.
We can leave them here.
We'll see based on the initiative, and
yeah.
We'll see how we get there.
Yeah. But just to say, the book is very much something that should go with your training as well, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So that's definitely in the bigger picture. When we talk about the importance of chess within the school, as you are working with schools and putting in that as part of the subject and a curriculum, is it different to when you would do it as a hobby at home or as something that would be in an extramural, or would be the same concepts?
There are differences in some ways. Obviously, sometimes in school situations, you have a lot of people in the classroom, and just like anything else, if some people don't are not that interested, it makes it difficult for those that are trying to focus. So the different situations depends. It really depends on a lot of things. But people who are doing it socially by themselves can sometimes advance more if they're on a track that they're doing a sort of a self-study.
Okay. When to be invested in chess, I'm not talking about necessarily for every child to go be a champion like yourself or to get to the highest level, but to be, well adjusted in the game, what does that require time-wise and social life? Would you need to put in an hour a week, a few hours a week, or not necessarily? Depends on the skill. How does it work with chess?
Well, personally, I think it becomes a way of life. That you grab time, you play chess when you feel like it. I'd say every day you should play a bit of chess. And from a coach's perspective, I want my pupils to play with us so I can watch their games, watch their progress, and whenever you feel like playing. So those people, if you just come once a week for coaching and you don't do any practice, then you're not going to improve, obviously. So it just depends on that. And sometimes in the schools, depending on the group, the bar's a little bit lower, but then as you see, some people want to become champions, others just love the game.
Okay, so really just bringing that concept in. Is there an initiative part of your organization to actually raise awareness and get more people involved in chess?
I think that's what we do every day. We're always open to that. And in fact, what we also do from that point of view is the people that we coach, they need competitions. So we provide competitions, we run the leagues and that, because I think competition goes hand in hand with coaching. If you just coach and you don't have anywhere to apply your skills, you won't know how you're doing.
one of the things that we've spoken here in the past, and the show with, coaches and, you know, sports scientists is about, you know, the high level of competition that the people that are playing professionally are going through and the ability to kind of shut down all the criticism and all the super focusing that's happening in the media or, you know, when people are covering the story and watching their game and putting a lot of pressure and at the same time balancing it and being very listening and aware to what the coach says and what your family says and what your loved ones say. Where does that balance and challenge come in with chess? Is it as intense when it comes from the outside pressures or it can be more as a hobby?
I don't know if I'd use the word, it could be a hobby, but it's a bit of a lonely game in the sense that, I mean, you are driven yourself, even if you, a coach is telling what you do, you have to do the work, the individual. So as a coach, I could, suggest certain openings or play this, explain them, look at the ideas, but ultimately each player has to do the work and learn, you know, study and know the processes as well. So yeah, whatever that takes in that respect.
So wherever it comes in,
yes.
In from that side of things. But is there a lot of pressure when you get up to champion levels from outside sources criticizing you, questioning you, fans, followers, or?
Yeah, look, I mean, you got to have a thick skin in that way because there's going to be everything's visible and anybody can research your games online, even if they're not online games, but they can be published. So yeah, so, you know, but it's fine. I mean, Everybody knows their games will be scrutinized, and the higher you go, the higher the more that will happen.
Okay, amazing. Okay, another question coming in quickly, but maybe we'll take just one more break and as we're getting towards the end of the show, and we will be right back in a moment.
Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
0.9. We are back towards the end of the discussion. I'm here with Clyde Wolpe, who is a South African former champion of chess, as well as the director and leader of Go Chess Foundation, Go for Chess Academy. And as we go to Go for Chess Academy, we do need to get to the end of the show, but one more SMS coming in question. How do the various ratings compare on various online platforms? Viz Latches, Viz Chess.com, a whole list of names here. And how do these translate to Chess South Africa rating?
Okay, good question. Chess South Africa is the official ratings of South African chess players. And then we also get Fee Day. Like in soccer, you get FIFA. So FIDE Day stands for, it's a French word, Fédération Internationale des Échecs, which, you know, it's the governing body of chess. And then Chess South Africa falls under that. So those are official ratings. So those people who play in tournaments, we submit the results and then Chess South Africa will rate them and those ratings will be published. Comparing that to online, we get leechess.org and chess.com, which are great sites to practice on, but those ratings are not official ratings because anybody could pretend they're good or bad. So we don't know how good the person really is with that rating. So that's the short answer. Online ratings, unless it's a FIDE approved site, which there are some sites which are a FIDE approved site and then they will screen you for ratings. But basically leechess or chess.com, anybody can just create a rating, create an account and call themselves good or bad, whatever they want to do.
Okay. They can identify as good or identify as bad. Okay,
correct.
Get it.
So
basically if there isn't, an official rating system, from the proper organization, then there's nothing, then it's not considered a,
So we run, for example, we run rated tournaments where we officially rate, we send the results to Chess South Africa. And then we also run online tournaments, which are not rated, but we have a sort of a series where we monitor it our way and we do prizes and that sort of thing. So we make it competitive, but it's not rated officially.
Okay, amazing. And on that note, we haven't even gotten to who is the world champion and the differences and who's the best rated,
yeah,
and kind of the differences between them, which I kind of feel like we're running out of time. And what I do really want to hear from you to end off this great show is, what is your vision for the community? What is your vision for seeing chess in the South African culture, and kind of your wish and your hope going forward?
Well, thank you. As you know, I've been here a few times, so my vision is to grow chess here and in South Africa. I think the way to look at it is to go for chess, and if you love chess, and chess will become a way of life, and just see if you love it and do it, and if you don't. And, you know, chess is for everybody, and chess is growing. And Basil is with us in the studio. Also tell us, I mean, we are very busy. People say, is that all you do? But we are doing tournaments 24/7. We're planning our next one. Chess is very vibrant at this stage. So we're fully invested in it, and we'd love to help anybody that would love to go for chess.
Amazing. Sounds a lot. And I gotta say, if all your coaches are like Basil, then I'm sure you're doing great, because I love him. I think he's a great person and a great coach.
No, that's great. And Basil's doing very well with online coaching as well. And he's got a few pupils. So yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. So yeah. So as I said, if these are your coaches, then great. And then I hear another one of your coaches is competing. So that is a great method and thing, and wish you luck in your work, and thank you for being with us today. A lot to learn and a lot to grow and see where that comes into life. And actually, I'm going to speak to you after the show.
Thanks for a wonderful show, Rabbi. It's been great to be here.
Likewise. Thank you so much. So thank you, Clyde Wolpe. Thank you, Basil, for being with us. Thank you, Craig, for managing the show perfectly. Thank you, Sina, for putting this interview together. And yeah, I love this show. The more and more credits are growing. And thank you, Denise, for being such a great grandmother and getting the book. Yes, Craig, you're the boss. I'm wrapping up the show. So another show comes to an end, and we will be back, please God, next week, Monday, between 2 to 3, like we do every week. In the meantime, stay safe, stay strong, and hopefully, next week we will be heading towards a holiday of the building of the Beis HaMikdash by then, and Tisha B'Av will be a great thing. Otherwise, we are in our difficult moments and times and days, and please God, we will come around and manage this upcoming week. Good luck in the new term, and we will be back next Monday, 2 to 3. Stay safe.